Call the November 15th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman DeAndrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman
here.
Barber. Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
We have somewhat of a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we talk a little bit louder?
Certainly.
Appreciate it.
I was wondering if you wanted to talk a little louder, which would be okay, too.
No,
you're good. Item B1, citizen comment period. Is there a citizen wishing to speak on any matter? Come forward, give us your name and address for the record, and speak your piece.
My name is Vincent Matranga, and I'm residing on 4034 West Anthony Drive. It's what called the Imperial Subdivision. I do have a problem which initiated about 2 years ago. And the problem is pertaining to the school district. I understand 2 years ago I was invited to attend a referendum meeting in Oak Creek. To my dismay, I find out that I belong to the school district of Franklin Oak Creek area, which, in my opinion, doesn't make any sense. I've been residing in Franklin for 20 years. I used to live on Forest Hill Avenue for 6 years. Once my kids married, I decided to downsize and go live on the Imperial subdivision. The problem that I've been having, in 6 years, I always paid more than $8,000 in taxes to support the school system in Franklin, of which one of my daughters took benefit of. Since then, I've been having 4 grandchildren going to the school district of Franklin. I have discussed the issue with the superintendent of the school district, and him and I, we see pretty good eye to eye, which is that it's supposed to be time to resizing the district. Whatever was done 70 years ago is no longer valid, and we are keeping perpetuating something that was established 70 years ago. I pay my taxes to the Franklin system, of which the city of Franklin diligently sent the school taxes to the city of Oak Creek. Now, to me, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. If I am a resident of Franklin, my taxes should be going 100% to the city of Franklin. Instead, you send me to Oak Creek to attend a meeting for building a new grade school as well as a high school, of which we pay $5.2 million. None of our kids in Franklin have a benefit of that new school. There was a referendum in Oak Creek, and it was decided the new school, it was for the kids of Oak Creek. Those few kids of ours that they go in Oak Creek, they go to the old system, to the old school. But yet, we are paying every year taxes to the Franklin, the Oak Creek system. When all of you are going to make a decision to reestablish the boundary for the school district. I understand it's not an easy task, okay? But with the willing and the cooperation of everybody, including the state representative that we got in Madison, we can accomplish something and, frankly, can benefit of those taxes that we sent to Oak Creek. Oak Creek is doing everything brand new to make their city wonderful. We do have Greendale is fantastic. We have Muskego is fantastic. We don't have nothing to brag about it in the city of Franklin. We don't have no downtown. We don't do anything. The parade is a joke. What else we got to do? We keep sending money to Oak Creek? It's not my willing, okay, to do so. And then I'm going to fight the system as much as I can to avoid to send my money, tax money, to the Oak Creek. So I would like some comment from this panel, including you, Mr. Mayor, to see if we can do something about it.
School district boundaries are not under the purview of the city council. That's purely a school district, state legislature issue. We have nothing to say about it. Your taxes get sent to a school district that you live in. I can't account for, I believe you live in a
Franklin. I am sorry. With all due respect, if you guys cannot do anything about it, what can I do as an individual and taxpayer to solve this problem once and for all?
I'll be happy to answer that. Will you accept my answer?
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Okay. The answer to that is you petition your school district and you petition your state legislators. That's the answer.
I did. My school district is aware and is going to work with me to see what we can do.
There you go.
But it's not sufficient. As well, you know as well as I do, the school district, it cannot dictate it what to do. It's the council and the mayor that is going to contact the state representative and see what he can do to reestablish the boundary. Don't let's, you know, send the problem to somebody else because we cannot do anything.
Mr. Matrenga?
Yes.
Thank you for your time and your comments. We need to move on, but I did give you the correct answer.
I do appreciate it. I will see you next council meeting.
Thank you.
No problem.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Mr. Burch, please come forward.
Good evening. Tim Burch, 7466 South 46th Street. If you don't know where that's at, it's directly across the street from Pleasant View School. So, can you guys hear me okay? Because the mic's a little low. I'll just scrouch.
Can we maybe
right if you hear me,
move on?
If you don't hear I'm a lounge act or something. So I'm here to address Evergreen Estates. I haven't been keeping up with city business much in the last few years, but there was a time when I was quite active. And this was, when was this? My notes here. 2011, the city got a bunch of money and had a safe routes to school plan that was adopted and put forward. In that plan, it calls for sidewalks along 46th Street. Although my kids are grown now, but they spent the whole 12 years plus in Franklin School District, and although we lived directly across the street from Pleasant View School, it wasn't really safe for them to get to the school because of the buses and the traffic and the road isn't wide enough, and so I mean, it makes sense to have sidewalks accessing a school. I understand this is not part of Evergreen Estates, but the point I'm trying to make is if you want safe routes to school, you need sidewalks, and Evergreen Estates, to my knowledge, does not have this. The neighborhood I live in is over 50 years old. It's older than I am. And I understand why there aren't sidewalks there. Right? We had cows and horses walking down the street when the houses were built back then. But if a new development, and you're talking about a new development here, it seems to me it would be prudent to put in sidewalks. In addition to that, when I was on the Environmental Commission and even afterwards, actually had issue with the city, and we went to a judicial hearing. I can't remember the name of the, with the DNR and whatnot, but regarding extension of Marquette Avenue. And at that time, the city made the point of saying, well, Marquette Avenue really has to be extended because you can't have a dead-end street that long. And the ordinance, the Unified Development Ordinance, for those of you who don't know, it's this like 500-some page document that tells the people who want to develop in the city the rules they have to follow. And on page 278, it says that no dead-end street, which would be a cul-de-sac, which is what Evergreen Street is now, and what is, I don't know the name of the street, but the street that they're planning to put in for Evergreen Estates, it can only be 800 feet long. And if you look at, I don't know how long it is. I don't know how long Evergreen Street is. I know it's a cul-de-sac. I know it's a dead end. But if you look at...
I can answer that. It's beyond 800 feet.
Can we...
I'm just saying...
Can we move along?
Well, just hear me out here. So we have a rule, or not a rule, an ordinance, right? We're supposed to abide by ordinances. Trying to see. Item 6 on the agenda. Item 6, they're talking about West Evergreen Street extension from a point 800 feet east of 51st Street. So you're starting at 800 feet. So it's well beyond that and going to 1360. The point is you're out of compliance. So I don't know who's going to get on City Hall, but you're planning another cul-de-sac upon a cul-de-sac that's already out of compliance. And I can understand how it was built that way with the expectation that it would eventually be connected to Marquette Avenue to the north, and this plan doesn't do that. So you've got, in my mind, two main issues that need to be addressed, and I would hope that the council would abide by your own rules and follow the laws of the city. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? No arguing.
Coming slowly.
Take your time.
I had hip surgery. It'll be 3 months tomorrow. It's coming good.
Good.
Anyways, Walter Habowitz, 7475 South 49th. My land adjoins Rick's that he had purchased. The road was proposed through my land. Why, I don't know, for his benefit. But I do have, I just want to update to the council. I do have two other builders I'm talking to. One is Mike Carrick. I've made a few phone calls with him. And the other is Rob Belinsky for purchasing my land. And I told him right now, like I said, I'm going on 3 months now. And I've been health issues and whatnot and back and forth. I'm still in rehab. But anyways, Rick made an offer. I made a counter offer. That's the last I heard. I refused his offer. He refused my counter offer. My land is still for sale. I just want the council to know that. So before a road does go through, it might be sold. The people I'm talking to are aware that the road would go through, as is Rick. Rick and I had maybe 4 meetings already before. And he is a builder, and I expect him to build. And that's all I want to say, sir. That's my update.
Thank you, and I hope your hip continues to get well. Anyone else?
Casper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. I want to talk about the city for a minute, about specifically item G2. I believe that is the budget item. And I'd like to say that we have, I've rubbed shoulders with the leadership and some of the people within each department in this city, and I think we have some very good leaders in our city, and I think they are all well run from what I can see because I've rubbed shoulders with most of the departments. And I understand that there's been an argument about one small item that's just a minute fraction of 1 degree of washing the police cars for $5,000-$6,000 or something like that it costs. And if there is an argument about that, we have to remember that the police and fire department, all of their equipment must be kept up in top shape. And if we don't keep them up in top shape, we might not get the services from those departments that we need. So I would recommend that we look at that budget very closely and that we approve it, because the mayor and the finance director, they put a lot of time in on this. And so I don't believe you can cut very much from what they've already given us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Anyone else?
Good evening. I'm Nicole Watson, 8152 West Woodfield Drive, obviously Franklin. Just a question. Are we able, or am I able to ask permission to speak prior to, I'm with Creative Homes, am I able to ask permission to speak prior to our discussion regarding our plaque, or does that discussion need to be addressed now?
Unless the council objects, we can do that. I think you'll be okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing no one else, Alderman Mayor.
If you would humor me for one moment, I just want to address Mr. Vinson's first comments about the school district. We are painfully aware of that situation. We've spent hours and hours discussing that up here, trying to find solutions to that very situation. It doesn't look real hopeful, but we are aware of it, and we're open.
We'll do whatever you ask me to do. I want my tax money to go for Franklin. I don't want to go to Oakley.
Understand. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I'll close the citizens' comment period. Move on to item C, approval of the regular common council meeting minutes of November the 1st. Any additions or corrections?
So moved.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to item D, a public hearing regarding the 2017 proposed budget. Madam Clerk.
Common Council for the City of Franklin, Wisconsin will hold a public hearing on Tuesday, November 15th, 2016 at 6:30 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin. For the purpose of hearing any citizen or taxpayer on the proposed 2017 city budget, summary of the proposed budget is published herewith, and a copy of the complete proposed budget will be available for public inspection at the Office of the City Clerk, at the Franklin Public Library, and on the City of Franklin website following the date of this notice.
Mr. Liberta.
Good evening. This is a presentation for the public hearing of the proposed 2017 budget. This is a statutory obligation to present the budget at public hearing. For those of you who were at the meeting where we presented the mayor's proposed budget to the Committee of the Whole, you will find that this presentation is very similar to that, but we do have a statutory obligation to present the full budget at public hearing. And well, I'm going to start while my computer figures out why it's frozen up. The proposed 2017 budget is a financial plan that reacts to, and it incorporates the actions that the Common Council has taken over the next year that we anticipate carrying over into the coming year. It addresses outside influences and requirements, many of which come from the state. And it maintains the status quo for departmental operations.
Yeah, you're locked up, baby. Control out delete.
But I'm going to keep going. So the municipal property tax levy is the primary factor that the city derives much of its 2017 budget, and in recent years, the history of the municipal property tax is that we've frozen it and resulted in a steady reduction in the effective municipal tax rate. And I say effective because the actual tax rate can change due to revaluation based upon shifts in property values in the assessment. The property tax levy itself has only changed in the last 3 years, last 4 years, by $42,000, and that was the last increase in 2013. So the change from the prior year's property tax didn't change in 2014, 2015, or 2016. What that has done is that's been part of the city pursuing a strategy, and while we're doing that, we've been in an enviable position relative to municipal property tax rates. As this fires up, I will run through a table or a graph that shows that of the 24 municipalities that the Wisconsin Taxpayers Association considers similar in our size, which is between 35 and 125,000 people, the city of Franklin is the fourth lowest in municipal property tax. The municipal property tax levy, from a historical perspective, I talked about the recent year's change. And in the prior years before that, the 5 years 2007 through 2011, there were significant increases in the property tax that were necessary to maintain operation. An average of around $500,000 to $600,000 per year, whereas in the last 4 years, as I've said, it's been a total of $42,000. And during that period where we have constrained the property tax growth, we have pursued and included a number of initiatives in that in the budget, including adding an economic development director, an information technology director. In last year's budget, a new light equipment operator was added. And in 2014, that funded a vacant police officer position that had been in the budget but unfunded for a number of years before that. So when you look at the growth we've had, the pattern of continuing to restrain revenue while trying to have some expanded operations, even though it's been very limited in expansion and operations, that's not a sustainable pattern in the long term. This budget does propose recommending incorporating the allowable property tax associated with new growth. I say allowable because the state of Wisconsin limits the amount to which a community can increase its property taxes in any 1 year without going to a referendum. For the city of Franklin, the increase that's included is $110,500, and that's based upon a growth rate of 0.63%, less than 1%. So to give a broader perspective on putting those numbers into context, it's useful to look at what the city gives me a moment.
And as we look at the IT budget, please note.
Yeah.
I think your IT budget's safe, Mark.
Set up that it just throws itself out. So the primary reasons that the city has been able to continue to restrict or freeze property taxes is that the city has transferred property tax revenue from allocation supporting debt service fund to the general fund and capital fund. So the debt service fund relinquished about $250,000. So I will stop. stop at that graph because you do see there at the bottom of all the communities in that same population classification, Franklin has one of the lowest municipal property tax rates. And there you can see that pattern of property tax levy and the very low increases since 2013. So as I was saying, the debt service fund has relinquished about $250,000 in property tax revenue since 2013, and between 2007 and 2012, there was an additional $460,000. So about $750,000 has moved from the debt service fund to the general fund to support maintaining those current operations during the time where increases in property taxes were basically held in abeyance. Similarly, there's been property tax transfers between funds. The proposed 2017 budget does incorporate and continue that strategy by moving another $200,000 from the debt service fund. But at this point, that's the remaining level of property taxes in the debt service fund that can be moved out because what's left is necessary to support the expenses of the fund based upon the outstanding and the planned debt. So after this year, that continued reliance on the general fund of transfers of property tax levy from the debt service fund really cannot occur without actually increasing the property tax. This budget does incorporate the expectations for TID 5 moving forward. The Common Council has already approved resolutions relative to TID 5. So this budget does establish appropriations that will enable TID 5 to move forward should the Common Council take the other actions that have to occur outside the budget to do that with developers, development plans. So this doesn't further that process. It just established the appropriations such that the other actions could occur. It sets up the TID 5 fund. It establishes the capital improvements and projects and borrowing necessary in the capital improvement fund. It anticipates the building inspection fees that come from it. It moves some of the economic development director's wages to the cost of the fund, provides for an maintaining a 43 part-time inspector. This budget also took a look at some fund balance supported activities. Given the strength of our fund balance,